Talented author and dedicated preschool teacher Nicole Adams created a book series that not only teaches, it inspires. Harper's Way, a children's book series, starring a main character after our own heart. The six-year-old, inquisitive, and lovable Harper, discovering the importance of the little things in life. Parents, teachers, and students alike will grow and learn through Harper's adventures. Get the first installment of Harper's Way, The Way to Greet, available now on Amazon.com. And to learn more about the author, visit the Nicole Adams website, www.authornicoleadams.com. That's www.authornicoleadams.com. Harper's Way, The Way to Greet, available now on Amazon.com.
Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Running the Point with Jason Carey on the ATL Podcast Network, the intelligent podcast. Running the Point with Jason Carey. By the time it gets started, man, you know how we always get this thing started. We got to say the grace. I got to say the grace. There are so many options out there, and we're out here competing for ears, and you have taken the chance, taking the time to listen to me and tune into the ATL Podcast Network. So we appreciate it, genuinely appreciate it, wherever you are listening to this. Season four, man. Welcome, season four. This is the first episode of season four, and I'm glad to have a guest in the house today and have a conversation that kind of lends itself to an episode from last season. I believe it's When They See Us. I believe that episode. But I want to introduce to you all an author and preschool teacher and just an educator. Let's go there. An educator, Miss Nicole Adams. Welcome. 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 I'm going to give you a real round of applause. It's just me. It's just me.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah, make you feel good. Welcome. Thank you for coming to talk to us today. You're an author, and we're going to get into the book, everybody. We're going to get into the book. We're going to talk about some things, but she is the, where are you from?
Originally North Carolina, but I've lived here plenty of years, so I'm from Georgia now, Georgia Peach.
So I went to school in North Carolina, and anytime someone says North Carolina, it means you live in a very small town that nobody really knows the name of. It's close to a city. So what's the name of the town that you're from?
Winston-Salem.
Oh, that's not that small.
I didn't say it was small. Said that.
When you say North Carolina, you don't mention Winston. I thought you was going to say like Green Evers or something. You didn't say Green. That's where my man's from. My man's from Green Evers, which is close to Wilmington.
Okay.
So he says Wilmington. He doesn't say Green Evers ever.
I got you.
But you're from Winston.
I am.
So I'm very familiar with Winston, being I went to A&T.
Thank you. HBCU love.
Well, congratulations, you made it out of Winston. that is.
Right.
How Winston so small but so violent sometimes? How does that happen?
I haven't lived there since I was five.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not
sure.
So
let me tell you. Winston get down sometime.
You know? Right. That's what I heard, but
made
I'm not
no
sure.
Sense. But anyway, yeah. Moving on. From North Carolina, and you went to Clark.
I did.
And then you went to NYU.
I did.
What made you go to all the way to NYU?
Because I wanted the New York experience for grad school.
Ah.
So that's what I did. I went to NYU for grad school for education and had a great time, but... You know, Clark, Atlanta is what raised me.
I think it's important to do it this way, but do you think it's important to do the HBCU for undergrad, and then if you're going to go do a PWI for grad school, that's just a good position to go in, to do it in that order?
I do. Best of both worlds, because HBCU is, I mean, the 4 years that helps grow you up is what you need to see. Black excellence, black education, those type of things is what you need to see within the 4 years that from 18 to 22 is when you're growing up. And then when you're over 21 and you're trying to get, you know, your master and you're trying to perfect your craft, then go to a PWI or go to anything. You know,
okay.
if you want to go to grad school.
If you want to go to grad school.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that. I say that because I got to clear that up. We're not saying it because the PWI is better. We're just saying that now you're going into a system
after you leave that PWI or leave that, you're going into a system that may recognize that school or whatever. Another set of connections. You can get connections from both schools, but just widen that net.
Like you said, another set of connections. And then it's not just that. Like I said, you want the experience when you're younger, because the professors at HBCUs, they take better care of you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see a whole bunch of black educated people in one spot. You see black excellence. You see a whole bunch of people trying to better themselves and trying to better you, and love and support. So you need that while you're in that ripe age.
And you come out with that confidence.
You know?
I was told that they noticed a difference in their friends that went to PWIs and people that went to HBCUs, and noticed that HBCU grads have more confidence for whatever reason, just walk with this confidence.
We do.
And I think that's what it is.
And then
shout out to HBCUs.
Yep. Shout out. And then,
I love y'all.
I do too. Like you said, it's all love, because even if you didn't go to the same HBCU as somebody, you'll be like, okay, HBCU love.
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. Okay, I see you, AUC, you know?
Exactly.
You know, so it's a bond that you already have. It's not just, you know, you can have a bond with anybody, but you have to create the bond. So, like, if somebody went to Georgia State or whatever, I create the bond. But, you know, we already have the same mentality if we chose to go to HBCU for undergrad.
Fact. So, which is great segue into what we want to talk about today, the book Harper's Way. Mm-hmm. The main character is Harper, who is a 6-year-old black girl.
She is.
Which, how important? Because I thought that was very important. That's a very important detail that some people miss. But and we talk about, there are so many different images out there that we see. I know I grew up with some positive images in the media. What positive images do you remember? Positive black images you remember in the media growing up?
Definitely Oprah. Mm-hmm. Barack wasn't out when I grew up, but
that was one. That's an important one.
It's important for the kids now.
Mm-hmm.
And we had. I'm trying to think.
And I asked that question on purpose.
Yeah.
Because when we grew up, we had The Cosby Show. We had Different World, which was HBCU's Family Matters.
Right. Living Single.
And everybody was professional. Cosby's, one was a doctor, one was a lawyer. You know what I'm saying? It was all these images that were projected. And we saw, oh, that looked like us. And it was whole black families and everything. That's
right.
Like, won't mixed up or nothing. Which ain't a problem with it being mixed up.
They were smart. They had great jobs. And they were married before they had the kids. That's awesome.
So, I said that alludes to an episode from last season. I was talking about how we've jumped from black representation to now everybody got to be represented. And I'm like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to see us still. Our moment isn't over.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
It's never going to be over. That's the thing.
I can agree with that. So how important is it to you to have positive black representation in media for children?
It's very important, because there's not a lot of black representation for children, and they need to know that, you know, they're not just going to be on the streets. They can be smart. They can be inquisitive. They can be educated. You know, there can be black excellence, you know, from adults and children. They can learn from each other. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's other races in my book to make sure that it relates to other people. So they want it. It also shows that they can relate to everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, they can relate to everybody. And then, like I said, it's more to them than just, you know, being on the streets or whatever. They can go to school. They can go to college. They can learn. They can learn different lessons and teach it to different people. So, you know, we are smart. We are excellent. We are educated. So I wanted to bring that to the forefront to children.
As a preschool teacher, do you see the impact of either the lack of images or actually the presence of images? Do you see that impact at all?
I see that they get excited when they see people that are related to them on the book. I mean,
I'm just saying in general. I'm just saying, just they come in the class outside of the book. They come in the classroom.
Right.
You see the impact of them influences at all?
They will. When I ask them to pick a book, a lot of times they pick other books or whatever, but they'll pick books with black images more. They'll see they'll see it and they'll pick the same books over and over again. I was like, I read that yesterday. But
why do kids do that?
Right.
Read it again.
Pick another book. But they do. They're definitely drawn towards that because it looks like them, you know, or they like that. I mean, as for this book specifically, they like their teacher wrote it. We just learned about authors and illustrators and those type of things. So they learned that the author wrote it and they were excited that I wrote the book. And then for other books that have black characters as the main character too, they, like I said, they gravitate towards that because it looks like them. And they, I mean, at that age, the only thing that's important to them is themselves. Mm-hmm. So if it looks like them,
quote,
or... Oh, okay. Thank you. If it looks like them or it looks like somebody they know, looks like somebody at home and their family, their friends, whatever the case is, that's what they're going to be drawn to more. Mm.
So what made you, because you don't have children, what made you choose a 6-year-old little girl as your main character? What drew you to doing that?
There's not a lot of children's books. A lot of books are for little kids. There's baby books, or you jump straight to, you know, Harry Potter and Twilight. There's no real in between. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get the in between age, the early child, early elementary school age, early childhood age. So I wanted to get it while they're starting to read.
Got it.
Yeah.
So it's about childhood. It's really just about the development of a child early.
Right.
Reading things that they can comprehend, but also learning something throughout the book. To do a book series, that's an undertaking. When you say, hey, I'm doing a book series, now you got to do it, and you can't do under 3.
Right.
So you
got to be 12.
Wow. Y'all heard it here. I think y'all heard it here first, because I ain't seen that in the bio. I haven't seen that anywhere. So I think y'all heard that first here, that there's going to be 12 books. Now, you done said it. I live by the rule. If you say it, you got to do it.
You're right. There's going to be 12 because there's 12 months in the year. So it's different lessons that she learns throughout the course of a year. We're working on the second one now.
Mm.
It is Harper's Way, The Way to Give. The one right now that's out is the Harper's Way, The Way to Greet. The series is called Harper's Way, and each book is going to be the way to something else. She's going to have a different lesson in each book.
Mm.
So we can show that, you know, she's always learning. Always changing, you know, we want to bring that to kids, want to bring that to adults as well. But like I said, the one out now is A Way to Greet. It's about community helpers. The one that we're working on mm-hmm. is The Way to Give. And so it's going to be a Christmas book. So the whole book is Harper's Way. There's going to be 12
of them. That's awesome. Speaking of the impact of seeing these positive images, I think there is a residual effect, because we just talked about HBCUs. When you graduate from HBCU, there's this level of confidence that you may be walking with. That's a residual effect of everything that's around you. I think there's a residual effect, these positive images that you don't even know. It's kind of like, I always tell people, you like that song, but you don't know why you like it. It's the little chime in the back, but you don't know.
It's
that little thing that's going on.
It's how it makes you feel, yeah.
That was important in my household. There were so many, they kind of beat in your head that you're beautiful and, you know what I mean, your beautiful black skin and all this stuff, because my dad knew the challenges that I would maybe face once I get out on the street. Once I leave his house, somebody gonna call you Blackie or something, you know what I mean? Dark skin jokes, because I'm the brown skin one out of everybody else. None of it bothered me, though, ever. It didn't bother me because it was so much put into me in the house before I even left the house. So I think it's important to have this image. How do parents react to, say, this book, parents of color, and maybe other ethnicities? How do they react once they get this Harper this Harper character? Like, my child ain't learning from no little black girl. No, but what do they get?
Okay. So the black parents are excited, of course, because they get somebody who looks like their daughter, their niece, their student, you know, whomever, their grandchild. And so they're excited. They're like, oh, I can't find a lot of books that look like whomever or relate to whomever, and then they show it to their kid, and their kid's excited, and they're all excited, and they buy the book. And, you know, they can use that as a teaching tool as well when they read it. They can be like, oh, look, you know, she looks like you, and she's learning this, and, you know, whatever mm-hmm. the case is. And for other ethnicities, because at my book signing, I had Caucasians and other different races come and buy books, too. So they approach it in a different way. They don't necessarily approach it race-wise. They look at it like, oh, you know, she's learning different lessons. She's learning from different community helpers. And then they teach it basically from, okay, you know, this police officer can be a man or a woman. They teach it more, I think, from gender mm-hmm. or, you know, diversity more so than race.
Is that, and as you say that, that's a different, that's a different approach for them to be like, you know what, it's okay to learn from that. You know what I mean? Because that's right. actually a step for some people.
Yeah.
It's so okay to learn from the little black girl. It's just a little girl.
Or
which
they,
is cool.
They don't, I've never heard them really say that. They might say that at home. I don't know. Yeah. They didn't say that in front of me. Yeah. But I don't know that they teach it from a race standpoint, or if their unless their kid asks them, their kid might ask, you know, oh, you know, she's black, but we're white. Can I do this too? And they might say it like that, but I've never heard them say it in front of me. But they use it, like I said, more of a gender standpoint because mm-hmm. I mean, even little black and brown kids, they ask too, because, you know, I thought police officers were women. I thought firefighters were men or whatever the case is. And they'd be like, that's a woman, you know, so you got to teach it from gender standpoint too. I think they try to shy away from race unless their kid asks them.
Gotcha.
We bring it to the kid. It was like, look, she's black like you. You know, we make that as a teaching tool.
In our community.
Right.
But I think that's important. What do you say to people to that point? What do you say to people who say, hey, it's not always a race thing? Because I feel like we have to teach that. Others don't. So to my question, what do you say to people that say that you ain't got to always bring up race? That's not important.
I think other races say that. I think white people say that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Because I don't really know my own minorities who say that, because it is race, because that's the first thing people see, your race, your ginger.
Mm-hmm. Although I heard a comedian say, which made me think about it, it was an Asian comedian. He said, I didn't know. He said, well, where I'm from, everybody's Asian. No matter what, everybody's Asian. I didn't know it was a separate thing until I got here. I think I saw.
But there's Japanese, somebody Chinese, say, there's Korean, there's all types of Asians.
And then they start splitting it up.
They're all Asian, but they're not all the same Asian.
Truth. So that wasn't actually true. It couldn't have been true, because you're right. Because I see them, they're like, don't call me Korean. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they're all the same race. It's the same race. They're Asian, but it's not all the same ethnicity.
True.
Just like Hispanics, too. They're not all Mexican.
Yes.
Some are Puerto Rican. You know, some are Cuban. Mm-hmm. So they're not all the same. Like, you know, we're not all African Americans. Like, that's why I say I'm just black, you know, because I'm not from Africa, and I'm not Jamaican American. I'm not Nigerian American. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
So you're a black woman.
I'm just black.
Woman or female, which one can I say? Because, you know, all this stuff is so sensitive now.
I don't think that matters, really. I know some people are really sensitive about that.
Don't call me a female. What? Wait a minute. Yeah, I don't know.
I
don't know. What do you mean?
I saw posts like that, too. They were like, do you get offended when men call you female? No. Do y'all get offended when we call you male?
I have given it no thought.
Right.
But just stay on topic here. The reason I'm even asking, I asked that question, what do you say to those people? Because there are everybody else may not talk about it, but it's important for us, for people that don't understand that. That's the reason why I want to talk about that, is because people that don't understand it, it is important that that character is black. It is important that the father and mother were black on this TV show, or you know what? Ain't no black people in Hazzard. I used to love Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
But then you get a little older, you be like, ain't not one black person in that.
You notice it.
Entire town.
Right. You're going to still watch the shows that you like to watch, because some shows are not, you know, black shows or whatever the case mm-hmm. is, but I'm still going to watch it. But you do notice it in different things, and you notice the different cultures and the different ways that they speak and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it, and then, you know, sometimes when we have our own things, people get mad. Like, we had the Wiz Live. People were talking about, y'all didn't do Wizard of Oz. I mean, y'all didn't have a white live or whatever. I'm like, Wizard of Oz was the first one.
And it was plenty of those.
Y'all forgot.
I think that's what people forget is that what we're... When we introduce something, is because there wasn't much of it. So that's why they need us. I heard they're doing Dr. Doolittle over with a white guy, Robert Downey Jr. or something.
They are.
You heard that?
Yeah. I just saw the preview for that yesterday.
Which, although Dr. Doolittle with Eddie Murphy was a remake of Dr. Doolittle, so we can't really get mad about that, actually.
But here's how I feel about things like that, like movies and shows like that. It's not about race, so it doesn't matter. If race is part of the plot, then it matters. Because people are still getting in an uproar about the new Little Mermaid being cast. I mean, like, a black girl being cast as the new Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
But Little Mermaid's not about race. It does not matter. So if it was, like, Mulan or Pocahontas and they went outside the race, then I would understand that we can be in an uproar or whatever the case is.
Because
they,
nobody
have,
mad
they when... have to be Asian. They have to be Indian. But I'm saying... Little Mermaid doesn't matter.
And ain't nobody mad when Cleopatra was played by Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or and then West Side Story, we're supposed to believe she's Hispanic, but she was white.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Stop it. Stop it. So, and so the people that are listening, they get upset about when, like, oh, black people always bring up race. It ain't that. It's really about representation.
Right.
It's really about letting us, having us involved, especially when we're so involved. That's the thing for me is that, we are in the fabric of a lot of these things. The inventors, you know what I mean? We were in the fabric of a lot of stuff. Did you just try to whitewash us out of history? And that's my challenge with it. And I'm like, don't do that. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
don't replace it. Because what you're doing, detrimental, bringing it back to the basic subject matter here. I think what you do when you do that is that you do take away some of the confidence from the little black boy, little black girl coming up.
Right. Because
they grow
why
up,
can't I do that?
Correct. They grow up believing that this thing.
The white kids are better than me and they're not.
Or the police officer was black. Or, I mean, the police officers can only be white, or a firefighter can only be white, or the president can only be white.
Right.
You know what I mean? I
made sure to make sure it was a little brown girl too, because like you said, the whatever this person, it can only be white or whatever the case is. But even in the same token, too, police officers and firefighters can only be men, you know. So I wanted to make sure to make that different, too.
So it's a lot of different storylines or little Easter eggs in there that you got to be paying attention to.
Yes.
Which I think is dope.
Thank you.
That's very dope. 12 books. Why 12? It's an even number. It's... Because that's a big number.
Because I wanted the different lessons throughout a year.
So that's purely because of the 12 months. Okay, you did say that. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's a big number.
It is.
It's an undertaking to do anything. That's what I said. To complete anything.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome.
Yeah. Congratulations. we'll be watching. is Harper going to forever be 6? Do you see Harper growing up like Harry Potter?
She is 6.
It's gonna suck. Don't do that.
She's 6. She's 6 in the 12 books, but if I write another series, then she can grow up. If I write another series, it might not be Harper. It might be a different series for older kids. We will see.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be cool. Because nobody wanted to see Bart Simpson grow up. Nobody wants to see
Right.
Grow up.
The cute factor is over.
Nobody wanted to see that happen. So if people want to, if they want to get the book, what's the best way for them to go get the book?
It's on Amazon. So all you have to do is type in Harper's Way, Nicole Adams, and Harper's Way, The Way to Greet should come up on Amazon. It's out right now.
Harper's Way, The Way. Now you started with The Way to Greet. You start with anything. Why did you start with The Way to Greet? Cause I thought that was, I don't know the word I'm looking for at that point, but I'll get to it. But that was good that you start with The Way to Greet, and I'll tell you why. But why did you start with The Way to Greet?
I have the whole series written, and so August was The Way to Greet because, September was The Way to Greet. The release date for the book was in September, and so it's about community helper, so it was Labor Day month, so it's the way to greet. And then, like I said, the whole series is Harper's Way, and then it's the way to something different, and it depends on the month that is coming.
Gotcha. Okay.
Depending on the lesson they're learning throughout that month.
And in this way to greet, it's a way to talk to approach people. Is a way to look people in the eye. What are some of the things that they're going to learn in the book?
All of the above. So it's the way she's going to approach different community helpers. Is the way she shakes their hand. Is the way she greets them. Is the way she leaves them, and different things like that. So it is about learning, educating yourself, as well as manners and being respectful.
Why I thought this was important. Why I like this is because I noticed that is something that maybe has been lost in the handbook of teaching children and young adults. Because you walk in a fast food restaurant and somebody's at the register, they're looking down, then they just look at you and not say, good afternoon, hello, how may I help you? Nothing. They just look at you and wait for your order. That irritates me. I want to slap. You need to learn the way to greet. I'm going to start carrying your book around and just hand it out. Here, way to greet. You know what I'm saying? Or just rudely.
Read this. Go back and then ask for my order.
For real. And we were taught, again, positive role models. It wasn't just because I saw it on TV. I had them in my family. Right. My uncles, my aunts, my dad. There's a way to greet. Shake a hand, look them in the eye, grip somebody's hand when you shake their hand. Women, you might embrace a woman, you might kiss her on the cheek or whatever. And not now, you can't, oh my god, you kiss them on the cheek, but we was taught that's how you greet women. Now you get locked up because you done greeted somebody. Somebody get mad, you kiss my wife, like, I ain't nobody.
Nope. Bruh. It's gonna come out 10 years later that you kissed them on the cheek.
Exactly. Exactly. That's going to come out and get me too, because I ain't kiss somebody on the cheek. It means absolutely nothing. So if you get kissed on the cheek by me, please don't take it. No, don't even mean I like you. So just take that nowhere, please. But anyway, I think that's one of those small things that is important, how to greet. And we're not teaching. I was actually taught yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Mm-hmm. When I was little, it was like you're speaking to an adult. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. No matter who it was. It's not just because you're just your aunt. And I didn't like calling people by their first name. I worked in corporate America early in life. And the older ladies, I'm not calling you Christine. You Miss Christine or something. I'm not calling you Christine. Because the minute I start calling you that, now we like buddies and we like peers. We on the same level. I'm going to start. I might cuss at you or something. You know what I'm saying? I might start talking about my love life or something. You know, you never know what you start talking about with the person. Like, I was like, that didn't feel... That felt wrong. But again, that's a level of respect that I think is a little nuanced. So I'm glad that you put that in there.
Thank you.
That I hope people pick up on that, though. You know, and I wish we could get back to that. And I just don't know what we can do. Speaking of that. So as a teacher, what can, I guess, going back to what we were talking about, what can parents do to instill some of those positive images of themselves? What can they do outside of just reading the book, or is this on TV? Is there, what do you see can be done by parents or guardians to instill some of these positive images in the kids?
They can tell stories of their childhood. Mm-hmm. They can show pictures. They can talk to the kids, talk to them on their level, and not just talk at them or, you know, pretend they were never that age and like, no, we're not going to talk about that. You mm-hmm. have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So that, and like you said, the book and the show and different other books too. So there's different other books. So bring them to the library, bring them to the bookstore, you know, so they can pick out, so they can have a love of literature, a love of reading, and so they can also, you know, have a love of different characters that, you know, maybe relate to them, or different characters that might not relate to them. They might pick people that are completely different from them. They're going to pick books that resonate with them in different ways. It might not relate to their race or whatever, but it might relate to, you know, maybe how they're feeling, if they pick outcast books or if they pick, you know, coming of age books. So you pay attention to those type of things to discuss it. And, you know, like I said, just, you know, talk about your childhood, talk about, you know, when you go out, have discussions like, oh, did you see this happen? And then, you know, if a child's doing well, oh, did you see this? And, you know, if a child's acting out, we'll ask them, you know, why we don't act like this and different things like that. So then, you know, different discussions, and then, you know,
actually just talk yeah, to basically kids and
just,
talk at them.
Right, just talk to your kids, mm-hmm. and then you'll have different discussions, and then they'll learn, and then now they'll approach you, and they'll be conscious of it, and so now they'll come to you, and they'll ask questions, and, you know,
we're not saying that you become your kids' friends.
Not friends. We're not friends.
Because we got too much of that going out there, too.
No. Right.
Listen
right.
to experimental parenting. That's another.
Right. And, yeah, we're not going to be friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could tell when the parents are trying to be the kids' friends, and or if the kids running
the kids cuss at them. I just told you.
Right.
How this will go.
Or if the kids are running the household, you know, oh, I don't want them to be mad. Let them be mad. Oh, well, they're three. You know, and then, you know, they'll get over it. And then, you know, so you have to discipline them, but you also have to be gentle with them and have discussions with them. Don't shy away from things, because then they'll go ask somebody else. And it might be the answer that you might not want your kid knowing, or it might be something you don't want your kid to be discussing yet. Well, you should have discussed it with them yourself.
Mm. So we're going to leave it at that. We ain't going to go, because y'all start calling us and talk about, oh, y'all giving parenting advice now. No, I'm just
right.
saying.
Don't listen to me anyway on parenting advice. Y'all can listen to me on teaching advice.
I'm just saying. So again, the author is Nicole Adams. Anything you want the people to know about you? In particular, I didn't prepare you for that question. Okay, moving on.
Right.
Poor journalism.
No, it's okay. That's not your fault. That's my fault. I should have known that you would have asked a question about me since I wrote the book, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that would make sense.
Exactly.
So
she's a teacher and she's educated. Let's carry on.
Right. So, as Jason said, I do teach pre-K. So, a lot of these lessons are from lessons that I have actually taught. They're going into the book. Mm-hmm. You know, they're beneficial to kids of that age group. A lot of the kids like 3 to 8/9, which is what the book is for, do not have a lot of positive role models. And if they do have positive role models, they're either way older or they don't relate to them at all. So I wanted to get something that brought, you know, their age, brought the love of literature, education, and also manners and respect and those type of things. And, you know, she's happy and she's quirky and she's spunky. So also, you know, kids can be themselves. They don't have to conform to a certain way. There's not only one way that they have to be. And so, yeah, but I'm still talking about Harper in the book. Myself, I... Right.
And Harper is... You have become Harper now.
A lot of the kids say she looks like me. Anyway.
Is there any... So, speaking of that, is there any of you in Harper, the character?
Well, I was like Harper. I asked a lot of questions. I still ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
If I want to know, I ask a lot of questions, or I'll talk a lot, or whatever the case is. Well, a closed mouth does not get fed.
That's what they say.
So,
I don't know who
if I want to know, then I want to know. You can tell me yes or no, and we're going to move on. But, no, I love literature. I love reading. I love writing. I did theater as well. So, I mean, I love anything that has to do with words, literature, quotes.
So you're creative
like
by
I am
nature,
just like you
creative. Yeah, obviously. So, if they want to follow you on social media, how do they follow you?
Okay, so if you want to learn more about me, learn more about the series, the book, what have you, then you can go on www.authornicoleadams.com. but if you want to buy the book, go on Amazon. It is $12.99.
Instagram?
I do have an Instagram. It's adams6525, and my Facebook is Nicole Adams.
That is a very common name. You know,
I know, you're not going to find it. Right.
Nicole P. Adams.
How'd you guess my middle initial?
Hey, man, I do this. So, anyway.
Wow. I didn't even tell you that.
Hey, man, it's great journalism.
That's awesome.
Kind of talented.
Okay, cool. Well,
all right.
I don't know if I, yeah, but okay. My Instagram is Adam6525.
All right. So make sure you follow her again, man. We're going to get ready to get out of here. Thank you for listening. And thank you for being here, Nicole.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Hospitality has fruit and all sorts of things in here. Don't tell none of the other guests. Don't tell none of our other guests.
I won't.
Especially the men. We don't treat men like this. Anyway, ATLPN.com. Make sure you go to the website. Follow ATL Podcast Network. There's a lot of people that use the hashtag. I just want to put y'all out there. Everybody's not us. It's just a very popular hashtag now because we so dope. So make sure you look for us. ATL Podcast Network. Also available on all streaming platforms, pretty much.
And if you're hashtagging hashtag Harper's Way, hashtag Harper's Helpers. Because you guys are all Harper's Helpers. We're all getting these sales together. So thank you in advance. I appreciate it.
Dope. Follow me, Jason804 on Instagram, Jason804 brand on Facebook. Go ahead and like the page. The radio show every single, actually now we got to do that a little different, don't we? So keep looking for JC Squared on the Air on Spotify and any other place that you can find a podcast. You'll find us out there. Minds of Mischief and all the whole crew. Shout out to you guys. I got to get ready to get out of here. JasonCarey.net. New merchandise is out there. The holidays are coming. I usually don't talk about that because I don't know where you're going to be listening to this, but whatever. There's something on the website. You got Christmas ornaments, you got fall gear, it's a bunch of stuff out there, so make sure you go out to the website and get you something, a hat, something. It's getting cold. The weather outside is, anyway, we gotta get out of here.
No, go ahead and bust out those vocals.
Definitely not doing that. ATL Podcast Network.
Talented author and dedicated preschool teacher Nicole Adams created a book series that not only teaches, it inspires. Harper's Way, a children's book series, starring a main character after our own heart. The 6-year-old, inquisitive, and lovable Harper, discovering the importance of the little things in life. Parents, teachers, and students alike will grow and learn through Harper's adventures. Get the first installment of Harper's Way, The Way to Greet, available now on Amazon.com. And to learn more about the author, visit the Nicole Adams website, www.authornicoleadams.com. That's www.authornicoleadams.com. Harper's Way, The Way to Greet, available now on Amazon.com.